Happy Tag Tuesday.
How are you?
I'm Ann Police.
And I'm Denise Cooper.
You're listening to Two Average Girls. We're glad you're joining us. It's an evening record.
We're here on a Tuesday night just hanging out.
That's right.
Loving life.
Loving it.
I had the best day ever. I look a little askew.
You do? You don't look askew. I'm sitting across from her and she does not look askew.
Oh, well, I put my hair up in a pony just so that I wouldn't look too bad. I had Grace all day.
Now, for people who don't know, who's 18-month-old Grace?
18-month-old Grace is my grandbaby, Gracie Lee, and she's the cutest thing ever.
She's pretty cute.
I have had her a few Wednesdays in a row, and it's been really fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does an 18-month-old like to do?
She likes to walk around and just demolish the house.
Nice.
She opens cabinets. She pulls things out. We have a playroom. She goes in there, and it is destructo time the whole time. She's babbling. You know, blah, 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 dee, dee. Like she says two or three words you can really understand. There's a few words that you know what she's saying just because you've learned that
bleh, that's
it's bluey. River is river. She's learning to use her tongue to talk right now.
It's pretty cute.
Pretty soon it's going to really be happening. And when it starts, it's already started. But it's not too hard to deal with because there's no words. It's just a bunch of noise.
Sure.
When she starts talking to the place of nonstop, like Henry,
sure.
It's going to be like, can we play the quiet game, please?
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody, let's play the... I have a good idea. Let's play the quiet game.
I was in the room when she FaceTimed you via her parents, of course, a few days ago.
That's only going to be like another 6 months and she'll be able to just press the right button.
She just wants the phone handed to her. She's like, let me at this. I can handle it. And your son, her dad, said the funniest thing because she was babbling, talking to Dee Dee. And then the adults were trying to kind of communicate, say a little something here and there. And the more the adults were talking, the louder and more blabbery she got. It was hilarious. And your son goes, she's just like my mom. If people are around talking, she just gets louder. I was like, yes.
You know.
Hilarious.
It was pretty funny.
It's cute. Not
untrue. So.
She's just trying to get in there. She's just trying to get in
there. She's trying to be part of your life, right?
She is.
She's just trying to be like all the adults that you see. She literally like puts her hand up. Like she has a fake phone, like an old iPhone. And she was carrying it around today thinking, and she's pretending like she's talking.
Sure, why not?
We have an old dial phone in the playroom. I bought it on Etsy a long time ago like 5 or 6 years ago. And it's literally a rotary phone it's like a turquoise blue.
It just looks
nostalgic.
Yeah.
She picks that thing up. She's never seen something that looks like that. I showed her once and she comes in there and she's like, Jack, Jack. She's talking to Jack on the phone. That's
sure.
Jacqueline. So it's very, very fun. It's a little tiring after being with kids every day.
Yeah.
But I have, as I've gotten older and as I've gotten more grandkids, I've learned, I didn't even take one picture. When Olivia used to come over, the first grandkid, I was like videoing everything she did. And I realized I was on my phone a lot.
Mm.
And I didn't want them to equate being with me and me being on the phone, even if it was to take video.
Right.
Because I felt like it was taking away having that experience with them.
That moment.
Yeah, that moment. So I have been really conscious, a few years ago, I just decided I got to put the phone down. I couldn't find my phone half the time. I'm like, Grace, can you find Dee Dee's phone? Like she might be able to find it easier than I am. I can, but I just feel like that connection with them. Did you have a good relationship with your grandmother?
Oh, the best. No, she was the best. And it is because grandma has undivided attention for you, whereas mom is trying to get things done and get through the day.
Right.
That's the beauty of being grandma.
Exactly. I mean, but I know other grandmas that aren't that way. Mm. I've seen other people interact with their grandkids, and I want my grandkids to know that I think that they are amazing and special.
Yeah.
Right? You want to feel like the most important person in the world when you're with your grandparents.
Exactly.
I felt that way when I was with my grandparents.
Sure.
One set of my grandparents. The other set, not so much.
Right.
They were not interested. They're just some people that aren't into it.
And there's usually a grandparent that sort of rises to the top, like this is the amazing one, or you have a special connection right. with that one, whatever. But yeah, I have zero intention of being distracted from anything when I have grandkids. No. I just refuse. Because I was distracted as a mother because I was the mother.
It's so amazing. Like my house was like literally like torn apart and my mother came over. I texted my mom saying, so it's her great grandmother. Uh-huh. I texted Gogo and said, come over. Oh. She came over and spent about an hour and a half there with us. And we just kind of hung out. And because it's fun for her to be able to see her and see Gogo, and Grace can say Gogo.
Oh, she can.
A little bit. Yeah. It sounds like Dodo, but it's fine.
It's close enough.
It's close enough. Yeah. It's all good. And it's just so sweet to see her have that relationship too, even though it's not, you know, it is what it is. It's just, it's so special. So if you're thinking about having grandkids, I highly recommend it.
If you're thinking about it, if you have some choice in the matter, Dee Dee says do it.
I say do it all the time. So there's more and more grandkids, if you know what I mean.
Well, seeing your three grandkids, they are truly three of the most beautiful children. Just physically gorgeous kids. I'm like,
I wouldn't know the difference. We were talking about that today. You know, all of them evolve and you look at pictures and you're like, how cute was she? And then you're like, but look how cute she is now. And it's just so strange to me that I couldn't tell you if my grandkids were not cute or not.
I'll let you know. Your grandkids are darling.
I know, but I don't know, even if they weren't, I mean, I don't know. You're not going to say anything to me. I wouldn't say anything.
I might be like, listen.
Listen, you think they're cute, but.
The middle one is just, she's, I don't know. You might want to send her back. There's not one. There's not a mutt in the group. One.
And you know, it's also really a blessing for all of us is their other sets of grandparents aren't like, not good. Right.
That's right.
They're all like, they're surrounded with people that just love them to pieces. So it's really, really awesome.
That's great. I love it.
I know.
Oh, I love it. Well, hi, Gracie. I hope you had a great day with Dee Dee today.
She did. She had a great day. We loved it. Next week again.
Every Wednesday is going to be your day with Gracie.
Every Wednesday is going to be my day. So we are not recording on a Tuesday. We're recording on a Wednesday.
That's right. We are.
I just realized that.
Yep. That's okay. I wasn't going to tell anybody. I was just going to let them think. Today's Weird News Day.
I know. I love it.
I love weird news. Do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Go for it.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't know if we have an obsession, but I have had somebody mention that we talk a lot about being nude on this show.
We do.
I don't know. We've mentioned it before. We've had that place where there was like a nude place where people could go and buy a house, but you had to commit to being nude. It was like not a nudist colony, but it was within a nudist colony. And it was a house, not very expensive. There was a naked man in the airport once.
That's true. We do.
We talk about it. And I think we talk about it because we are so amazed
that people are free to be nude in places they shouldn't be,
that they want to be nude.
Why would you?
And just so this is going to just rock your world. You just got done being on a cruise.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you just got done being nude.
Well, you might have been. I don't know.
Stop stalking me.
I don't know what you were doing when the last 24 hours since I have seen you last.
I did just get back. Well, I got back from a cruise recently and there was no nudity on my cruise.
Well, that's a shame for you because inside the strange mix of passengers on an all-nude cruise.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Wait. No.
All-nude cruise.
Hold up. Hold on. So you are buying a ticket purposely to a cruise that's going to be nude.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, and you might not know the answer to this, is it a cruise line like Carnival Cruise offers this nude cruise?
That I didn't remember seeing that. Okay. Let's see what we got.
Yep.
Yeah. A man stripped down to set sail on a week-long nude cruise, and he is speaking out about his fellow flashing passengers.
Oh, someone got creative.
This is from the New York Post.
Thank you, Post.
Of course, you know. The 67-year-old
has
not disclosed his identity.
Sure.
But he took to Reddit. Okay. So if it's on Reddit, it has to be true.
Absolutely.
To reveal that he hit the high seas with his wife on a bare necessities cruise.
Oh, okay.
That's what they call it now.
Okay.
That departs from Tampa, Florida and sailed across around the Caribbean.
Tampa, around the Caribbean. Okay, got it.
I just disembarked from a 2,000 person nude cruise, he said. Ask me anything. This is what he wanted on Reddit. He was asking it.
Okay.
Curious commenters quizzed the clothing averse cruiser,
mm-hmm.
with one asking how many passengers had hot bodies.
Oh, no.
I could have already.
I mean.
Listen. Also, most people don't seem to be. He said most people don't seem to be comfortable being in nude in public until later in life.
Oh.
So the crowd was older. He said, and I'd say 20% were attractive.
20% were attractive. Okay, go ahead.
20% were average.
That seems right.
And 60% were unattractive. I already knew this. I already knew this. He added that a majority of the passengers were American, but noted that some also hailed from Europe and Australia. Okay. Meanwhile, the Redditor clarified that he was not on board a sex cruise because people started asking him.
Yeah.
Because the first thing you think of when you're like, I have to be nude is it's orgy time or something, I guess. Well, I don't know. And he said it's not mandatory to be naked.
Oh.
He said most cruisers took a towel around the vessel to sit on for hygiene purposes.
Please, thank you.
Thank you very much. He claimed passengers were required to cover up in the main dining room and specialty restaurants.
Thank you.
Okay. Many people dress for night generally after spending the day nude all day in the sun. So after 6 p.m., there was a strange mix of nude, normally dressed, and women dressed in sexy clothes like see-through blouses and undergarments.
Yes.
I mean, that seems like a better idea.
Yeah.
Just like, okay, leave something to the imagination.
A little something.
Elsewhere, another commenter asked a hard-hitting question about
No. No.
Or should I say about getting excited while seeing other naked people?
Okay.
And this is what his response was.
Okay.
They're frowned upon.
In
my experience, they almost never happen, the man responded. This cruise is very non-sexual. Non-nudists think about that a lot more than nudists do.
Yeah, I'll bet. Because we don't understand it. We fully clothed people don't understand it.
We fully clothed people think that we get naked to take a bath or shower or to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
Not just to like go make some dinner.
Mm-mm.
The passenger isn't the first to dish details about the experience on board the Bare Necessities cruise. Last year, Englishwoman Helen Berryman, 47, spoke out about the hitting the high seas with her husband and 2,300 other nudists. I used to struggle with body positivity and confidence, she said. But now it's so different. My body is my vessel.
Okay.
I used to equate nudity to sex and being objectified, but now my outlook has totally changed. So I guess don't knock it until you try it.
Okay. No, I'm not going to try it.
Well, I thought it caught my eye because it's like 60%. The whole thing was inside the strange mix of passengers on an all-nude cruise. And then it says 60% unattractive.
That was a subhead.
That was the whole
headline.
That was the headline. And I was like, I can imagine.
Well, imagine going to your local Safeway or Albertsons or Ralph's, whatever your grocery store of choice is, and just looking around there, do your own little percentage game and go like, oh, there's a couple very attractive people. There's an average little set of people right there. And then over there in the, Twinkies department is the 60%. It's like, no.
Here's the thing, too. The point is, most of us feel more comfortable in our own skin as we age.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Like, I feel more comfortable. I still don't want to be nude in front of people.
Absolutely not.
I barely want to look at myself in the mirror.
No.
Half the time.
No.
I don't need, again, all of the stuff that goes on with the human body, I don't want to see all the details. I don't need all the details.
No, no one needs those
details. Let's just keep it to I just want to imagine it if I want to. And most of the time I never do.
You don't
want to
imagine it with those people, with strangers.
No.
I
can't imagine sitting across from somebody, having a conversation and seeing their full
body
out and exposed.
I guess I'm
immature.
No, you're not immature. I think you're normal. Having just been on a cruise, I have to tell you that there is a lot of, it's not, the cruise ship, it's big, but it's not that big. You're kind of on top of each other.
You see each other over and over again.
You can't get away from sort of the same people. There's that element of it, which is very upsetting if you're thinking of everyone's nude. But then the cruise we were on, I think this is in response to COVID. There were so many cautions taken to germ-free yourself. Everywhere you went, you could get a little spray of this. There were sinks set up in places that they hadn't been before. To me, it's very like...
unsanitary.
So much is exposed. Yes.
There's places you don't want touching other places.
No.
It's just not... It's not cool. I'm not into it, but apparently 2,300 people...
2,300 people.
..came from all over the world to cruise it. This. It's that important to them to be that nude.
That's how they want to spend their time.
They want to spend their time nude.
Nude on those ships. That's weird. I have a friend who...
It is strange to me, but maybe it's a liberating experience.
I think people who love it, they have a whole different mindset.
Obviously.
I have a friend who got a great deal on a cruise years ago. And when she got on the cruise, she realized that it was because she was on the AA Al-Anon cruise.
Oh.
And there was, everything was focused to that. Can you imagine if you accidentally got on the nude cruise?
I think.
The Bare Necessities cruise.
Bare Necessities. Do they play that on that
All
ship?
The time.
I mean, like, I can't imagine that you would get on there.
No.
I think that somebody is going to, you know, like, send you a warning.
Just so you know, you've signed up for this cruise.
I mean, you start walking on, everyone looks normal, and then you go and put your bags away, and then you come out, and nobody's wearing clothes but you.
You're like, is this a dream?
Could you freaking, you couldn't leave your room.
I'm caught in a nightmare. I wouldn't leave my room. It's like, well, I guess I'm eating here for 7 days. So bad.
So gross.
So bad. Anyway. All right. I will go next. I'm having a hard time deciding which story Ooh. To read to you next because they're all so amazing. Let's just start with some fast food. Do you have a favorite fast food restaurant?
I don't eat fast food very often anymore.
You and I have been to a drive-thru once or twice.
We have. I because I don't go very often, I don't mind some McDonald's if I'm going to go do it because I love their fries. In-N-Out is always a good choice. Del Taco isn't bad either.
The Del has got
some good stuff.
Well, we're going to stay with the Golden Arches.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to go OG.
I love it.
A Wisconsin woman made an unexpected stop outside of McDonald's when she realized that she was about to give birth to her baby boy.
Oh.
That's not...
There's a lot of options. Although, if you're around a McDonald's, there's probably... It's always usually close to a gas station. You know what I mean? Like, they seem to strategically placed along gas station areas and other kind of weird locations. Maybe McDonald's is the best choice.
Might have been. Annalisa Beck. Mm. She is from Muskego, Wisconsin. She started going into labor late at night before waking up her husband, Daniel Beck, when she started to feel more pain. So she's like... I'm just doing this myself. I'm going through this myself. I don't need to wake him. She might have waited too long. So while she was en route to the hospital, she suddenly realized that the baby was coming sooner than anticipated.
Ooh.
I was like, no, pull over. It's happening right now. We have to pull over. This is what she told a news organization. The couple said they pulled into the closest location, which happened to be the McDonald's parking lot. Ms. Beck's mother, who was following them, so we got mom following behind, pulled into the fast food chain. She was probably like, what am I doing? We were just driving past and it was the best place to pull over, Ms. Beck said, with her husband adding, I think it was muscle memory from just going there all the time.
Hey, we're going to deliver a baby, but could you guys grab me a Diet Coke and a big fry?
I love your fries. They're so great.
They're so good.
The expecting mother got out of her SUV, climbed into the trunk. So she's serious. She's like, I have to have room. This baby's coming out. Yeah.
What kind of car was it?
It was an SUV.
Well, that's good.
It's a little bit bigger. So they popped that trunk.
Like if it's a Tahoe, you have some room.
You got a little room to do a little something. The husband was back there comforting her. The peculiarity of the situation was not lost on the mother. Halfway through, I was just lying in our trunk and I was like, oh my gosh, this is actually happening at a McDonald's. I can't believe this. Which would be everyone's reaction. Her baby was about 2 weeks early, so she really wasn't like expecting that this was actually going to happen. The baby was already crowned.
Oh my gosh.
When the EMTs arrived. So that baby is coming out in the back of the SUV. As soon as I knew the paramedics were there, I just started pushing. And within minutes, that was pretty much it. We caught the baby.
And boy or girl?
Here we go. Baby was taken to the ambulance because paramedics wanted to check out the health of the newborn, who had just arrived in a parking lot, of course. Her baby was born at 4 a.m. as a snowstorm clamped down on the city of Muskego. So the baby, his name is Micaiah Daniel. So they did that on purpose because Micaiah Daniel can be shortened to Mickey D.
Oh my gosh, that's a good idea.
Yep. But they, instead of going with Mickey D, which is adorable, and Micaiah is actually a really great name. I love that name. They're calling him McFlurry. Because it was in the middle of a snowstorm.
Oh my gosh.
Can you believe
that's
this?
That's so funny.
It's so cute.
That is so cute.
So congratulations. Well, the situation was not ideal. With no comforts of the hospital, the harsh weather just made things more intense. They are so grateful for their new addition. It was chaotic and terrifying, but it ended up to be beautiful, and we have a perfect little baby boy. So
that's amazing.
Welcome to the world, Micaiah.
When you were pregnant, were you just, I had those moments thinking, at least with my first, that, oh my gosh, what if I don't get to the hospital?
I knew I was going to end up giving birth to the child.
In a taxi?
In something, yes.
Like literally, like you have your worst nightmare.
It was a total fear.
It was a fear.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's no joke. Like I won't make it to the hospital.
Well, especially when you live someplace where there's a snowstorm that's shutting everything down, I would be petrified. That's probably why she went into labor. There was like a you know how the weather changes,
yes.
you know, it's like a low pressure system or something. It probably just popped that baby right on out.
Is that what happens?
No, I don't think so, but I'm just making it up. You're welcome.
Dr. Ann.
I'm also an astrologist, astronomist, and a geometrist.
You're a woman of many, many talents.
I wear a lot of hats.
You really do. Don't try to deliver a baby, though, in McDonald's parking lot.
I won't.
Don't know how good that'll go for you.
I won't go well.
So we've talked a little bit about this, but and I think that anybody listening to this podcast will attest to the fact that a lot of crap's going down when you get onto an airplane.
Oh, yes.
And we keep talking about bad behavior for people.
Mm.
And it's magnified 150% when you get onto a steel tube that goes in the sky and you're trapped.
I don't know what that is, but it's a phenomenon that has really taken hold.
It's not going away
anytime
soon. Crazy is just getting worse. And in the sky, crazy is next level.
I would die.
And please, Jesus, don't let it happen to me. I do not want to be diverted. I do not want to be inconvenienced. And I don't want to be scared out of my wits over this kind of crap. Because you don't know if this is crazy or this is terror.
Yeah.
It could go either way.
It could go either way.
It's not good. So this is not, you know, this is going to bring home the whole point. A 19-year-old student pilot was detained during an Alaskan Airlines flight from San Diego to Dulles International Airport in Washington, D.C. for allegedly trying to storm the cockpit several times.
But he's a student pilot who's a passenger on this plane.
When they said that, I'll continue on.
Okay.
But there was no, like, he's not like working for like Delta student pilots. You know how it is if you're a student pilot. That really just means you're taking lessons.
You could be taking ground school online.
You could be.
Yeah.
You could be a guy who wants to take it and has done a lot of research on the internet.
I'm a student pilot.
And you probably could learn a lot.
Oh, no.
So anyway, he actually tried to storm the cockpit several times throughout the flight. Not just twice. Yeah. An affidavit filed by the federal air marshal said that Nathan Jones made three separate attempts to go to the front of the plane and open the aircraft's cockpit door during the March 3rd flight.
It's this month. You've been on a plane. It's impossible to get through that door.
I've never tried it.
Well, the locks. No one is getting into that cockpit.
No. After 9/11, no one's getting in. With the help of off-duty law enforcement officers, flight attendants restrained Jones in flex cuffs for the remainder of the flight. So luckily, they just kept going.
Yes.
Thank you. Jones was detained with a beverage cart, and a beverage cart was placed in front of the cockpit door where a flight attendant stood guarded for the remainder of the flight.
Yep. So you just use the term flex cuffs.
Mm-hmm.
So those are zip ties.
Yes, that's what those are.
Okay, got it.
They are zip ties. I was going to say that if you asked me the question, I was going to know the answer. Those are zip ties.
Yes.
Those aren't great. You can't get out of those.
Oh, no, they hurt like crazy.
They hurt like crazy. And unless you have a knife and you're like Houdini, you're not getting out of it.
Forget it.
The teen told flight attendants, and this is in quotes, he was testing them.
I'll bet. Yeah. Okay. That's a nice way to say that.
Yeah. I was testing you. I'm going to punch him in the face if you're sitting there.
Honestly.
Yeah. After the flight landed at Dulles, Jones gave investigators permission to search his bags, which contained multiple notebooks with writings describing how to operate an aircraft, including taking off, in air, and landing techniques.
Okay. Great.
So I think he was trying to like go up there and see if he could like just land. Dabble in it maybe.
Dabble.
Excuse me. Hey, I know this is probably really conventional or anything, but I've been taking an online course and I have a lot of notes here with me. Do you think I could maybe just try to land the plane? How would that go?
So he's not a stable human.
They didn't talk about his mental health, but I'm saying when you say I was just testing you, and you've tried it more than once.
Right.
Now you're in real trouble. Jones was charged with interference with the flight crew and faces up to 20 years in prison.
Yeah, he should.
If he's found guilty.
That he should do some time.
He should do some time, and he's got to be banned from flying.
He can't. Talk about a no-fly list.
I mean, now he's never going to be a pilot.
No. His pilot days are over.
So anyway, I'm telling you this because you and I both get on the plane a lot.
Yep.
And we talked last time or some time ago about this. And have you ever been in a situation where you've been around people that have had these issues? I've never been. And I'm going to knock on this Naga high table. I do not want to have any problems. People, no. Calm down and calm stop down. This.
Stop
this bad behavior. Keep it in your own home.
They can't.
I don't understand. Stop getting on planes and being crazy.
They want the attention. It's like, oh, look at this audience I have.
I'm just not sure, like we've said, if this guy is just mentally, something's not right.
Yeah, something's not right.
But I think that most people with their anxiety of flying in general,
yeah,
or the reason that they're traveling in general, maybe for work because of a bad, you know, like something's gone on. You have a funeral. You have to go take care of business. Maybe it's not. I just equate flying with going somewhere good.
You'd think, and as you said when you first started the story, if I have to get diverted somewhere because of someone's bad behavior,
going down for me, and you better. It won't matter how many 20 years. I'm going to take care of you instead. I don't like it. I don't like it. I have been. We in the last year have had some major delays on planes, and I can't stand how the airlines are handling things. Mm-hmm. Sitting on tarmacs for 6 hours, like you can't. I'm over it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm really over all of that. Yeah. So if it's something that happens with another passenger, are you kidding me?
Oh, I know.
How selfish are you?
That's the thing. It's, now I'm mad.
Annoying.
Now I'm mad. All right. We're going to go someplace exotic now. The exotic island of Japan. It's an island, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. But you really want to say...
It's actually a string of islands.
It's an archipelago?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I know that word because Hawaii is an archipelago. It's a string of islands.
It's on the eastern edge of Asia.
So there you go. Look at us knowing all about geography. Just working
it
out.
Thank you, Google.
There was an epic pest control fail that happened earlier this month in the city of Kumamoto, which is about 230 miles southwest of Hiroshima. Okay. Sometime before midnight, a 54-year-old man spotted a solitary cockroach. Uh-oh. He found the cockroach inside his apartment.
There's never one.
There's never just one cockroach.
There's never one cockroach. No. They come in hundreds. There's a lot of them.
There's a lot.
I'm going to gross out.
She's vomiting as we speak.
Oh.
So this gentleman grabbed a spray can of what it says here was a massive amount of insecticide and sprayed it at the critter. I picture him unloading an entire can of Raid.
Okay.
At the critter. A minute later, an explosion went off, blowing out a wall, a balcony, and a window in his apartment.
Because of him spraying?
The unfortunate resident suffered a minor injury by the blast. An investigation into the fiery incident which has uncovered burn marks near the victim's heating table. It says a classic Japanese piece of furniture. Hmm. So apparently in Japanese homes, they have a heating table. The National Consumer Affairs Center of Japan said that it's received multiple reports of explosions that have been linked to insecticide being sprayed near or around electrical outlets.
Oh.
So it was providing heat to this table, and he is spraying the living daylights out of this cockroach, and it caught fire. This is not the first time that a disaster has struck while someone tried to exterminate bugs using non-traditional methods. I think that's pretty traditional, is spraying bug spray. Sorry it was near an outlet, but I mean, you don't know where it's going to go. In December of 2017, a woman in Cincinnati burned her house to the ground after using rubbing alcohol near an open flame to get rid of bed bugs. You got to just, I mean, burning that house down would be the best thing to do, because there's no other way to get rid of bed bugs. A few weeks earlier, a 13-year-old boy also living in Cincinnati, I don't know what's happening in Cincy, but he was left homeless after deploying the same dangerous combination of fire and alcohol to eradicate a bed bug infestation.
Wow.
Cincinnati, what is happening? So anyway, the man is okay. He suffered minor burns, the man in Japan, but he was spraying that insecticide near a working wall outlet that was actually heating something up.
That is crazy.
Blew out a wall, a window, and probably destroyed that table, I'm just saying.
Just so you know, I looked up a Japanese heating table.
What's it say?
It's a thing. It's a whole thing. It's
a like a classic piece of furniture.
Yes, yes. It's a literally folding storage tatami coffee table, and it's called a kutatsu heated table, and it's like the when I looked
what
it
do
up,
you put on it?
Well,
I'll why is it heated?
I don't really understand it. But
is there food on it?
There's some. I don't know. I don't understand. It almost looks like a table. There's a table warmer, which is like a quilt, and then a warm table quilt that goes over it. And there's an under desk heater. It's literally just a bunch of
elements.
It's Japan must be kind of cold.
I wonder if they use it as maybe kind of like an ottoman. You put your feet on that while you're sitting there enjoying some Netflix.
I'll show you what it looks like. It literally looks like a table. So it's so interesting.
Oh.
It looks like a table that you would just...
Okay. If any of our tag listeners know or have one of these, please write in. We would love to hear from you. We're going to post a picture of this on Instagram. And if you could just go ahead and comment on that Two Average Girls podcast on Instagram, we would love to know more about the Japanese heating table.
Yeah, we don't know anything about it.
I've never heard of it.
I love the word heating. Anything that's heated is my friend. And so, and I love tables.
And
so
you love Japan.
And I do love Japan. Mm-hmm. I love Japanese food.
Who doesn't? That's right.
Well, we both own our own businesses. And here in California, and really it should be anywhere. I'm a union company, so I pay my wages like they're dictated to me. There's no choice, and I get audited, and I'm not cheating anybody out of anything. Well, that doesn't happen around all the world, and there's a reason there was unions, and there's a reason there's prevailing wage, and there's reasons for all kinds of things, because some people don't treat their workers very well.
Is this going to become a pro-union podcast?
This might be. If you get sponsored.
We'll take money from
Labor's
the unions.
Labor's local might want to. Well, Tennessee's biggest pork producer is accused of retaliating against workers who asked about their pay.
Just asking?
With one worker allegedly finding a severed pig's head at their workstation, according to the Department of Labor.
Oh, boy.
Now we went next level.
Yeah.
Now you're being a real jerk.
Don't do that.
No, the pig's head incident allegedly occurred after the employee had asked about their wages, sparking Tosh Farms LLC management to threaten them with termination.
Mm.
So they're asking about their pay. Probably saying, I don't understand why I've gotten less money or this doesn't seem right. Mm-hmm. That worker found an animal's head after returning from a meeting with managers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Tosh Farms allegedly retaliated against several employees for requesting their wages, with the investigation finding that the workers were assigned tasks outside their normal duties, such as cleaning bathrooms and picking up pig waste.
Okay, so I'm doing more and I'm not getting paid more.
I think that after they asked to do that, they asked about it, they were
given those assignments after. Okay, got you.
So you want to get paid? It literally says several employees for requesting their wages. Probably asking to be paid.
You can't not pay. That's dumb.
Well, there's a lot of people who don't pay people.
I don't know. Well, when has that ever been an option? I guess maybe things are different in Tennessee. I don't know.
For people who are dishonest or people who are just going to not be kind to their fellow man or don't.
Well, and then you have to consider there are people working there who have no choice but to continue to go to that job.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I mean, these are unskilled or maybe even undocumented workers who now have no one to look out for their interest. And now they're finding a pig's head on their desk and they're picking up pig poop because they requested, God forbid, their money. Okay. Asking about one's wages is protected activity under the Fair Labor Standards Act. Okay. So it doesn't matter where you live. Tennessee, California, Ohio, it doesn't matter. And federal law blocks employers from firing or discriminating against employees who have filed a complaint or are working with a DOL in an investigation.
Oh my gosh.
So this company is just bad.
Yeah.
Who decided, anyway? The company's appalling actions and clear attempts to intimidate and retaliate against the employees will not be tolerated. Okay, good. It is important to Tosh Pork that our employees are treated with dignity and respect, they said, and that our animals receive proper care. He added, Tosh Pork denies it is engaged in retaliatory conduct alleged by the DOL per its March 5th, 2024 news release. So they're going, it goes on and on. It says the family-run business produces swine and grows crops, including corn, soybeans, and wheat, on about 18,000 acres in Henry, Tennessee.
Okay, so it's not a massive operation. No. It's a local operation.
No. Yeah. He said, it said the DOL investigated, found that the company owed five workers $39,375,000 in back wages and assessed $36,731 in civil money penalties.
Okay.
So you don't pay your employees, you're going to get double the fines.
Yeah, that's how it should be.
Absolutely.
Ugh.
They wanted their money.
Well, they worked for it. They get paid.
They're working in a pig farm.
That's so dumb.
It's not great. But I brought that up because, you know, as workers, you were just saying, like, when has that ever been an option?
Mm-hmm.
I think for honest people, it's not an option because you value the people that work for you and help you be successful.
Mm-mm.
When you have people that you don't care about or you just treat people like they're not important.
Mm-hmm.
Or
for a minute. And I don't mean to be this person. When you first started telling the story, I thought this could be a coworker that maybe doesn't like the person and they did the whole thing. And now this poor company looks bad. No, but the DOL comes in and does an investigation. It's like, no, they weren't getting paid. So it was the people. It was the owners. It
literally just happened a few weeks ago. Oh. Not even a few weeks ago. It happened like a week and a half ago. And they've already been able to uncover what's going on and assess them damages, which means it was blatant.
Yeah, it was. Yes.
I mean, it was a corroborated. It was proved. I mean, there's no getting. And they have this press.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Well, right. See how you like it now.
Pig head.
That's right. Okay. Here's my last one. Most mornings just after dawn. We're going to Georgia, by the way.
Oh.
Penny Reynolds strolls a familiar path through the backyard of her 9-acre property, sprinkling handfuls of corn for the neighborhood deer. So she kind of lives out rural.
Mm-hmm.
The ritual, which Reynolds has upheld for more than 40 years, is one of many daily pleasures now haunted by one worry.
What is it?
Will my day be ruined by monkeys?
Oh, your biggest fear and nightmare.
Penny is my sister from another mister. Local officials in Bainbridge, Georgia, a rural outpost 20 miles north of the Florida panhandle, so it's Florida north, basically, recently approved a startup's plan to build one of the largest monkey breeding facilities, a monkey breeding facility, not just a housing.
But why?
I'll tell you. In the nation. At its capacity, the $396 million complex.
What?
Yes. Would hold up to 30,000 monkeys. Yes. Double the city's human population.
Why would we have this? This is a Planet of the Apes all over again.
It's unreal.
I mean, it really is.
Well, this is what Ms. Penny Reynolds said, whose property line borders the site cleared for the 200-acre facility. Our world has been turned upside down. Safer Human Medicine, that's the name of a company behind the project, says that the long-tailed macaws, those are the guys you like. They climb up a tree and they hang off the tree with their tail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do you like them now?
Well, I don't need them as neighbors.
You don't get a choice. You don't get a choice, Denise. That's it. They're coming. They're moving in. These long-tailed macaws will be bred and sold to pharmaceutical companies, universities, and laboratories for medical research.
I don't like this.
The company hopes to finish construction and welcome its first monkeys later this year. Yeah. Monkeys, because of their similarities to humans, are essential to research for a wide range of diseases and infections, and have led to breakthrough treatments for Parkinson's, sickle cell, polio, COVID-19, all of the bad ones. Getting enough monkeys has become more and more difficult. Most historically came from China, which stopped the import of monkeys to the U.S. when?
I would imagine in 2020.
In 2020. Ever since
which
the
bio- we're glad. We're glad about.
No, we're okay with that. Ever since then, the biomedical research industry has been scrambling to expand its breeding facilities in the U.S., much to many communities' dismay. As you can imagine.
Yeah.
Why don't you take that act up there to the Dakotas where there's no people for thousands of miles?
There's like literally like desert. I guess they can't live there though. The monkeys have to be able to live outside, right?
Yeah, but there's different places you can live. Georgia doesn't, it's not necessarily Georgia.
Are they living outside anyway? I mean, they're breeding them.
They're outside in this 200 acre facility. It's enclosed with a fence, but they're outside. Yeah. In a leafy suburb of Houston last year, residents quickly sank a plan to build a monkey farm, as they're calling it, citing concerns over waste, pollution, and the treatment of animals. It's a whole bunch of not in my backyard, and I don't blame them. Critics have said using monkeys as research subject is immoral, okay? But based on the current state of science, there are no alternatives that can fully replace the non-human primates. That's according to the National Academy of Science, Engineering, and Medicine. So the scientists came in and they're like, listen, I know it's not great, but this is what we have to do. In Georgia, an expanding group of locals and animal rights activists is set on stopping the monkey breeding plan before construction even begins. Concerns are wide-ranging and fervent. It's like putting a nuclear plant in your backyard, said James Chestnut, a retired clay miner who lives less than a mile from the proposed building site. Think about what that is going to smell like, is what he said. You're gonna be able to smell 30,000 monkeys,
especially during the heat of the summer
and the sweltering heat of Georgia where it's so humid.
Just gonna sit there and you're just gonna, you thought cows smelled bad?
No, this is like that, only on crack.
What do you do though here? I mean, it has to go somewhere. It's like prisons. People don't want that. People don't want dumps. There's and we have these need for things that are so important to our way of life.
Yeah. And I know homes and businesses around the town have been fitted with signs urging stop the monkey farm. 5,000 people joined the Facebook group. And of course that number is, you know, skyrocketing now that word is out. Lines for entry into the city and county commission meetings are out the door. Often dozens and dozens of residents have to be into the parking lot. They have to set up speakers so the folks outside can hear because it's such a problem. So anyway, residents say that they fear their property values will plummet, which they will.
Well, wouldn't it? Well, let me ask you this. For 30,000 monkeys, you're going to need a lot of employees.
Are you?
So I would imagine.
I don't know.
They have to feed them. They have to take care of them. They're scientists. They have to get people in there to like.
But the science isn't happening at the farm.
I understand. But still, in order to be a monkey curator.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That sounded very, very good.
It really, I was very impressed.
Much better than just like a zoologist. I mean, you have to probably have some, they need healthy monkeys. They need, it's going to take a lot. So people are going to have to live near there or want to live near there. Maybe Penny can sell her house to them. I mean, to me, they should be buying up areas and giving people money so they can move out. I mean, honestly.
But that's not how it works. It's like, well, what's the difference between that and say, like you said, building a prison in some place that's going to put so many people to work. That's what happened in Folsom up there in Northern California. They were like, we're not doing this. Now it's a huge employer for the Sacramento area. And what do you do?
What about butchers? I mean, like slaughterhouses. It's disgusting. Yeah. The smell is gross, but people need to eat and people need to be able to, they need to be able to slaughter the animals somewhere.
Yeah. People are also concerned that in the case of a hurricane or tornado, happens, that there will be monkeys escaping.
Well, yeah.
In that much acreage, they're going to pick them up and, you know, it's going to be Dorothy all over again. They're concerned that the facility's waste could damage the environment, especially the nearby Flint River, which waters flow into the Gulf of Mexico. The river is a prized local jewel where residents swim in and is a nationally recognized fishing competition. That's where that's held. It's also the city's largest tourist attraction. I'm not sure. That seems a bit like an overstep. It's not like they're washing monkey sewage directly into the river, but I don't know. So anyway, the residents are unconvinced, even though the people who own the monkey thing are like, no, 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 we're really good neighbors. And they've come to these meetings with proof, with blueprints, with plans, with all this stuff. And they're like, we don't care.
I'm wondering if the city council members and the mayor and people who are looking at it on a big scale are probably pro, because it's going to bring a lot of money to that area.
It says that it will, the facility will bring more than 250 good paying jobs. Mm-hmm. The wages start at $18 an hour, full benefits, the whole nine.
I mean, they could, I mean, they're going to have to figure it out, but it sounds like it's going to come.
I would lose my mind if a monkey
farm
breeding farm moved in next door. I would lose. Can you imagine? That's my worst nightmare.
It is your worst nightmare.
I mean, we have land up in Northern California, and I'm like, what if our lovely next door neighbors sold their land to a monkey breeding farm?
Don't give them any ideas.
Well, Denise would move in.
I'd be so excited.
You'd be so psyched.
You know that Jacqueline just went to Miami with Hod.
Mm-hmm.
And while they were there, they found a monkey habitat that they went to. And we can post this.
Okay.
Jacqueline, she sent you the pictures. She sent you videos, did she not?
Mm.
She was so excited.
She was.
That girl was literally in her element, because this place, it wasn't cheap, but they were able to go there and you can feed the monkeys right out of your hand and they jump from trees onto your body, onto your arms, legs. Hod did it too. Mm-hmm. They said it was the most amazing thing. Jacqueline was so excited about it that she started crying. They had to wear masks to make sure the monkeys were not getting any human, and vice versa, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But they really wanted to make sure the monkeys were not being exposed to anything, because they can catch it and get sick.
You can give them the flu.
The whole group will get it. The whole colony. I don't know what they call a monkey group.
Of monkeys?
A pod of monkeys. Ugh. I don't know. A village of monkeys. What is it?
I don't know.
But the whole experience for Jacqueline was just like so up close and personal. And that's not normal. That's not what we're talking about. This place. This is a scientific, like, research kind of like breeding
ground.
Right. But this place, I guess, was just phenomenal. So if you're ever down in southern Miami, you might want to check it out. I guess it's pretty cool.
It's like a monkey preserve kind of thing?
It's like a monkey preserve of some sort. There's three different kinds of monkeys, and they're on a huge amount of acreage, like 200 or 300 acres, maybe more, I'm not sure. But just this huge, huge. And in Florida, everything grows like, it looks so lush and everything. And it looks like where monkeys should live, right?
Sure.
And these little monkeys, I mean, they only wear like a pound and a half.
Aww.
And they're just jumping all over Jacqueline.
That's
and
cute.
She said you could barely feel them touching you. They were just so sweet and cute. And
until one wanted her eye for breakfast.
One of them just started nibbling on her face. And
yeah.
They don't do that.
They actually do.
Well, we were talking a little bit about agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about rural places. I'm going to just go to the next little, this is kind of a good segue.
Okay.
The bizarre reason farmer uses sexy lingerie on their watermelons despite online ridicule.
Sexy lingerie on the... Okay.
An unnamed farmer uses women's lingerie to support sinking watermelons, and there is apparently a method to the madness. Although that didn't stop people from mocking him online.
Sure.
Okay. A farmer's lingerie-wearing watermelon... Say that five times fast.
I could not.
I couldn't say it one time.
No.
Have gone viral. Okay. But there is an important reason for them using the underwear. Uh-oh. Plenty of jokes filtered through the comments on the Facebook post, which showed off various undergarments used to hold the massive melons.
Come on.
But despite these jokes, there may be a reason behind using lace underwear with regards to the quality of their growing fruit. Hmm. Apparently, panties allow for fruit to breathe.
Can they not otherwise?
And using the underwear to hoist the watermelons from the ground removes the risk of rot, keeping them fresh.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One user joked, I feel inferior. Even the watermelon is sexier than me.
Yes.
Another explained, farmers prefer lace panties as it is translucent, which makes it easy to observe, and it is breathable.
Okay.
Another said, lucky the tags weren't removed, so people wouldn't doubt where these came from.
Oh.
Literally, it's brand new underwear. So here is, we'll share this with our audience, but here it is.
Okay.
They here's- literally.
Oh my gosh.
They're not, I'm not joking.
And they're, you know.
These are pretty underwear.
Lacy lingerie is not inexpensive, even if you're getting it from Walmart. Those guys are like, they're hoisting it up like with a hanger,
mm-hmm.
and the underwear is, it's a hammock.
It's supporting it. Yeah. It's like, it's supporting it.
It's a watermelon hammock.
It's a watermelon hammock.
That is genius. But I mean, do they have to do that for every, not everyone, just the ones that are going to be like buried into the ground and
probably wouldn't
do well.
I don't know really what the point is and how many pairs of underwear you would need, but I'm wondering, could they get like a sponsorship?
They need
could
it.
Victoria's Secret come out with like special underwear for the watermelon?
Victoria's Secret needs to do something good once in its life.
I think
this is it.
This could be it. Yeah. I love watermelon.
Me too.
And I could get behind this.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I just thought it was a cute, funny story.
I want to see a billboard on the 5 freeway driving up to Sacramento. It says, this farm supported by Victoria's Secret.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
So fun. Well, that does it for this edition of Two Average Girls. We're glad you joined us. I'm Ann Police.
And I'm Denise Cooper.
Be sure to rate, review, subscribe, press that follow button wherever you get your podcast. It really helps us out and we appreciate you. See you next time.
Episodes of Two Average Girls are free wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to hit the follow or subscribe button on the Two Average Girls main page so you never have to go searching for new episodes.
Our editor is Aiden Bloomstein.
Our social media producer is Samantha Stone.
And original music for Two Average Girls is by Jason Fries.